Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
And hello once again, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you today, and we're coming to you from the Woodlands as we're getting ready for the start of the Insperity Invitational on the PGA Tour Champions, which will start tomorrow as we're doing the podcast today on Thursday. All the guys out on the golf course, most of them out there right now playing in the Pro-Am. And join us here in a couple of minutes will be the executive director of the Insperity Invitational, Brian Noggle. And he'll talk about this tournament and other grand things that are happening on the PGA Tour Champions and whatever else might enter our noggins. In the meantime, a lot of things happening in the world of golf. And Frank Bassett, as always, in the Nashville studios, who's on top of everything in the world of golf, joins us. How you doing, Frank?
I'm doing good. I'm jealous because you're at one of my special places that I really love there in Houston, Texas.
You used to live in Houston, didn't
you? I did live in Houston. Lived off of Memorial Drive and Gessner in Houston years ago. And I played in the Pro-Am at the Woodlands when it was a tour event twice. So, yeah. First time I played with a friend of mine that went from Memphis, speaking of in pre-show, Dr. Gil Morgan, who graduated from Southern College of Optometry and played on the tour for a number of years.
Look at you. Yeah. See, I told you.
I love it out at the Woodlands. Corey Pavin, one year when I was there, won it, and he came walking down the hall. I was coming out of the bar. Imagine that. Was walking down the hall. He had just won it, and there were two beautiful girls and his arm around both of them. And I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm just in heaven. I said, okay. He won the tournament. They were both taller than him, which was made it so funny.
But I'm sure it was his wife and his daughter.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. Probably his daughters.
Sure.
But
sure.
No, I love the Woodlands. It's a great area. Spent a lot of time playing golf there, and it's fabulous. And this tournament, Insperity, is going to be great. A lot of good players. Yep. Stuart Cink, of course, as you know, is the man to beat. So we'll see.
Every week. Just coming off the tradition.
Right now, yeah.
And wins a major, and here he is getting ready for another one. This one happens to have, if I'm not mistaken, the second biggest purse on the tour. Only the U.S. Senior Open, I think, has a bigger purse, a couple hundred thousand dollars. So, yeah, everybody that is playing on the PGA Tour Champions wants to be here this week.
We want to thank our guest that's coming up, too, for putting our good friends Harrison Frazier and Paul Stankowski into this tournament.
Yep.
We talk to
these guys all the time.
They're always on this show. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. I used to do a show with Paul on PGA Tour Radio way back a few years ago
and
before he got into the Champions Tour. So, well, you mentioned it, so let's bring him in here. Brian Noggle is the executive director of the tournament. Brian, thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Tim. Nice to be here.
We appreciate it. How many years now for you here?
This will be 23.
Wow.
This is year 23 of the event. Yeah.
Wow.
23 years. And you've been involved for...
I started it.
Oh, you did?
I started this event 23 years ago.
So you were talking, earlier, you were with the PGA Tour?
I was.
Previous?
Yeah,
and then
I was an official with the tour, became tournament director of the then senior tour, and then kind of transitioned to my own company with a friend. We developed ProLink Sports. We run and manage many events around the country, but this one I started 23 years ago, and this one I probably take more ownership of than anything else. That's kind of really the only one I want to do anymore.
Yeah.
You know,
is this home for you?
It is.
Okay.
Yeah, I live right here in the Woodlands.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is, for people that aren't real familiar, we can say generally Houston, but it's, 45 an hour away from Houston, but it's a big development, about 19,000 acres or whatever. It's forever. And it's businesses and offices and complexes and golf courses and resorts. It's just a beautiful part just north of the greater Houston area.
Yeah,
I guess.
It's kind of its own little bubble.
When
you say little, it's not little anymore. It's 150,000 people live in the Woodlands. But like you say, we've got everything here.
It's great.
It's a great place to live, work, and play.
Sure is. You never have to leave.
No,
I mean,
it's great.
And I drove down. I'm from Dallas. So I drove down this morning from Dallas. And in the old days when the Woodlands was kind of first being developed, you kind of started to think you're in Houston. You're like, oh, here we go. Now we got some stores and some restaurants here. And then you just keep driving and drive to actually get to Houston.
It used to be ways out of town.
Yeah,
now,
yeah.
The
country.
Now it's, continuous.
It's all connected.
I'm glad you joined us. I'm going to drop a name here from my remembrance of being there in Houston and playing in that tournament several times. Is Papacitos and Mamacitos were big places.
Oh, yeah.
Right there outside of the Woodlands, right? So the first night I was there, it was the night, but day before the pro. Well, we'd done a party, and then the day before the pro am, so I was starving. So a few of us that were playing went over to, I guess it was Mamacitos, whatever the Mexican side, whatever Papacitos, yeah. And sat down and looked over at the table next to me. I was in blue jeans, starched blue jeans, boots, and a white polo shirt. And I looked over next to me, and in starched blue jeans, a white polo shirt, and boots was Payne Stewart. Sitting next to me.
Oh yeah,
and that's sure. A great fond memory of a great player that used to play in that tournament a lot.
Yeah,
Payne won here when it was the Shell Houston Open.
Yeah,
yeah, he,
and,
Shell
yeah, he was
Open,
a,
yeah.
He was a staple at this event, and a lot of fans here at Houston because he loved the event. And he was a great,
oh,
great
yeah.
part of it. Yeah,
and the funny thing too, Frank, that you mentioned that, and I'm sure Brian knows this as well. If he went out to where you saw him at Papacitos or Papados or Papa, any of the Papas, people might not recognize him because he looked very different without his knickers on, right? His plus fours and his,
yeah.
his,
well, he's still
Hogan
hat. Yeah, that style hat. I mean, that was so distinctive, and you knew it when you saw him on a golf course, but he'd take it off and almost become anonymous. People
except to all of the women him. Around him. All the women
yeah,
loved
well,
him.
Yeah.
But he and Freddie Couples, they
yeah.
knew who they were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was
yeah,
interesting.
He definitely created his own kind of uniform. Right?
Yeah.
He did.
To
but
play
it was,
in
but it was almost
he,
genius.
What a genius
yeah,
idea.
He could go away and be completely
yeah,
anonymous
almost,
and nobody
yeah.
would even know at a restaurant to come up
right.
and bother him or anything else, wouldn't you? But he put that outfit on. And,
but tying yourself to the NFL course. Like he did? Are you kidding
exactly,
me?
But, you know, he, I think he created that. Like, that was when he was ready to go to work.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and, you know,
put his uniform
when he's
on.
Off work, he had, like you say, his blue jeans on and T-shirt.
Yeah.
He was just Payne.
Speaking of some other guys, and again, we're talking with Brian Noggle, who's the executive director here at the Insperity Invitational, where we're coming to you for today's show at the Woodlands, the tournament course at the Woodlands. And looking at some of the future guys that are getting ready to play, if they haven't started already, like Stuart Sink, pretty new to the Champions Tour.
Yeah.
And you had a guy here that I'm going to circle named LT Gray.
Yeah.
That – everybody was hoping and planning and thinking about playing. What's your thoughts on if and when it's a possibility that Tiger might play in the Champions?
Well, I felt really good about this year.
Yeah.
Because his body was doing really well, and I think he was ready to play some golf. No telling actually if it would have happened or not, but I was feeling good about it, particularly that, you know, Insperity has a brand ambassador agreement with him. Very significant agreement, and I think, like I said, I think Tiger was ready to come play some golf, particularly with the ability to ride a golf cart. And I think it was really obviously unfortunate situation. Thankful no one was injured, and you know, hopefully, you know, we're all really hoping that he's going to get through this next phase that he's going through right now, and come out of it and return. You know,
yeah.
I think everybody'd like to see that. I don't know, somebody that wouldn't. I, you know, the Americans are wonderful about, you know, rooting for someone to come back. And I think, you know, I wouldn't bet against the man. He's Tiger Woods.
Did he give indications to the Champions Tour in general that he was intrigued or wanting to play as opposed to PGA Tour events?
I wouldn't go that far in that, you know, Tiger's not going to play a full schedule on the Champions Tour. I never saw that happening. I think we can all remember back to when Arnold and Jack first played, when they first turned 50, they cherry picked. They played the majors and they played a couple here or there if they had some sort of a tie to. And then as time goes on and they become even less competitive or feel like they aren't on the regular tour, then they transition more and play a little bit more Champions Tour golf. But, you know, having him just turn 50, I didn't see him potentially playing more than, you know, a handful, not even a handful, maybe two or three this year. I know he had his eyes set on winning the Senior Open. He definitely has his eyes set on completing that USGA slam having them all. So I think Scioto was certainly scheduled on his schedule, and you know, remains to be seen what's going to happen now in the future. But I fully expect that guy to amaze us all and come back.
Plus, he's somewhat familiar here. He's got his golf course. Blue Jack is in Montgomery, which 45 minutes away or something, not very far. So this would not be, he'd make it a business trip if nothing else. I'd come here and play the tournament and check out his golf course too. So, well, maybe next year, right? Maybe we'll see.
Well, we're hopeful. And like I say, I'm hopeful the man makes a tremendous comeback and he gets some things straightened out and, you know, for he and his family and everybody involved, him, you know, he's an icon. He's one of the greatest to ever play the game, and I wish him all the best.
We were talking beforehand about the LIV Tour and what's going on with those guys, and that's a different animal if you're talking DeChambeau, maybe in Rahm and those guys. But what about the Champions guys we're getting into? Would Phil be able to play, or Ian, or Sergio, or some of the guys that are in the 50 range? And what would be the status? What do you think about that?
Well, yeah, I think it's unfortunate that what's happening with LIV and everything, and the fracture of golf. I think we've all kind of felt it. I'd like to see everybody get back together, whatever, however that works. The new commissioner or the new CEO, Brian Rolapp, I'm sure they're having a lot of discussions on how that'll all unfold. But in particular, you know, in my position, anybody that's playing over there currently that's over 50, I would hope that the door would be wide open for them without any penalty to come and participate on our tour, because, you know, I think our tour, I believe our tour needs those names. I think our tour players would welcome them back without any question. And I think they'd be definitely an asset to our tour. Phil Mickelson would draw tons of people. He's one of the greatest players to ever play. You know, Ian Poulter, Lee Westwood, Sergio's coming up. I mean, there's a whole bunch of big stars that are playing on LIV over 50 now. And if they aren't going to be able to participate over there, I would love to be love to see him be able to play with us.
Graham McDowell's another one that we're very good friends with. We do the show with him a lot.
Major champions.
U.S. Open winner.
I mean,
McDowell, great. I would love it.
I think that would be great. I think that makes so much sense from a business standpoint. I think just from a, air quotes here, we're more forgiving as we get older, Tim, right?
And I am.
I know I am. I'm glad people forgive me for some of the stuff I pull.
Don't worry about that crap anymore, right?
But dumb. I mean, it would be a benefit to the patrons, the fans, the tour, the PGA Tour champions especially. I mean, we need it, and just hope it happens.
Well, Brian, it'd have to make sure that he stores enough tee box markers when Sergio plays, that if he happened to miss a fairway, that he can
afford a fine or two.
It's just charity money.
A whole
come
lot
on.
Of money right there by the tee box for Sergio. Just throw some money in before you break one of our tee markers. Yeah. We'd appreciate it,
spit in the cup. Okay, that's the rule for me. Don't do that.
Again, we're coming to you from the Insperity Invitational at the Woodlands Country Club Tournament Course here in the greater Houston area, in the Woodlands in Texas. And the tournament starts tomorrow. And part of the tournament that's been going on for a number of years, I believe now 12 or 13 years, is the Greats of Golf, the Folds of Honor, and doing the Greats of Golf. Yeah. And tell people about that too, because they probably have seen the highlights on SportsCenter or wherever, certainly on Golf Channel, with Lee and Player and Nicklaus and past champions, guys that have just done phenomenal things, and women. But how did that all get started? Well, you guys are continuing it, right?
Yeah, well, we started it. And I started it years ago when, let's face it, when Mr. Palmer wasn't competitive any longer, even on our tour. You know, Mr. Palmer, a lot of people don't know this, Mr. Palmer's last competitive round in any sort of PGA event at all was right here in 2004 when we originally played this tournament at Augusta Pines. And on the fourth hole, he basically said, "Nah, I'm done." And I said, "Well, what do you mean you're done?" He said, "I'm just done." And he was struggling. And I said, "Well, do you mean you want me to drive you in?" He was playing with John Mahaffey and Lee Trevino.
Okay.
And he said, "No, I don't want you to drive me in." He says, "All these people came out here to see me play. I'm going to finish. I just wanted you to know I'm not turning in a card. I'm done." And I said, "Well, that's Arnold right there."
Yeah.
He was frustrated and done, but he was going to finish for the fans. Yeah. And so anyway, Arnold was done playing competitively. And I said, we got to figure out a way to keep Arnold involved. And we kind of created this thing, and it started out being the 3M. We got 3M to sponsor it, and was started out with one group. And we had Mr. Palmer, Jack, Gary, and Lee.
Pretty good group.
Yeah. And strong. It was kind of an exhibition. Those guys would play after the last group on Saturday. And it has morphed into the Folds of Honor. We have a wonderful partnership, charitable partner with Folds of Honor and Colonel Dan Rooney, who we feel, you know, really strongly about benefiting those Gold Star families,
right,
with furthering education. And it's now morphed into 20 players. And they're typically all World Golf Hall of Fame or have won major championship. And we started a few years ago, we started to include the ladies. We had Pat Bradley, sure, Nancy Lopez, Julie Inkster, Annika, of course. And this year we invited Laura Davies to join us. And
these are the players right here.
Yeah,
right?
They're
so,
right there.
So,
yeah,
Frank, here's some of the names, Frank. Team Majors is Annika. She needs no last name. Annika, Mr. Nicholas, Gary Player, Lee Trevino, and Hale Irwin. Laura Davies, David Graham, Tony Jacklin, Tom Kite, Sir Nick.
She'll outdrive all of them, too. I played with her. She'll
Nancy
outdrive
Lopez,
the boys.
Larry, yeah, Nelson. Lanny is going to be playing. We have Lanny on the,
yeah,
show.
Yeah, Lanny's on all the time with us. Yeah.
Julie Inkster, Crenshaw, Bill Rogers, Andy North, Curtis Strange. There's some of the most of the names that these,
yeah,
guys are playing.
And the only one missing this year that would normally be here is Tom Watson. He would normally be in, yeah, that last group. But Tom, we moved our date a week later this year, and he had a previous commitment. He had, okay, to be in Royal Birkdale this week for the RNA. Otherwise, Tom would be here. So Tom's the only one we're missing. We're sad we're missing him this week. But we've got a great, great group of
– and they play nine holes, right?
They play,
so
nine,
it's like
holes
on Saturday,
yeah,
the
play,
final group,
yeah,
goes through, and
you know,
then they come
it's
behind.
It's not about
them.
The golf so much. It's about, you know, honoring their legacy of the game.
Yeah.
And letting the fans see them. They play a nine-hole scramble right after the last group goes through the 10th hole. They play nine holes. And, you know, it's a heck of an opportunity to see the greatest, the absolute greatest living legends in our game.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the ladies are great too. I mean, that was
they're
a great
wonderful
addition, because I did a lot with the Legends of the LPGA, and a lot of stuff with Pat Bradley and all that whole crew.
Yeah,
and had a lot of fun with them. I mean, that was just a blast. Tim and I both have covered them forever.
Yeah,
and they're fun. They're fun to hang out with, and they're fun to have in your scramble group too.
Well, you know, and these handful that we have here certainly are.
Oh,
some,
yeah,
of the greatest that have ever played the game.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
And this kind of brings in not only those players, but the regular ones we're talking about, the Champions Tour. Frank and I talk about this all the time. While most media focuses a lot on the PJ Tour or Live Tour, the younger, mm-hmm, guys, the Champions Tour guys and the Champions Tour events,
yeah,
such as yours, are so engaging for people. I mean, they're more relaxed. They're more laid back. The guys, as we're talking about being three old guys here talking, yeah, there's not so much strictness and regulations, and they're willing to sign autographs and say hi and all that kind of stuff. It's that continues on with that event you're talking about with Gary Player and those guys. They kind of care, and they realize, boy, the fans really mean a lot. And when they're younger, maybe they just are caught up in things. And nowadays they've got 19 people around them that they, right, are so insulated. It's hard to even, yeah, get a one-on-one kind of thing. It's kind of got to be great for you, for being in the game of golf forever, to see how wonderful these guys can be, and the women when they come out here, and how they are with the fans.
It is. I mean, our tour, while I fully believe we have the greatest players in the world, over 50 participating here, and it's a lot about competition. Believe me, everybody that's teeing it up wants to win this, yeah, event. But it's our tour is really based on entertainment, client entertainment, and accessibility. And then, you know, once we get done with all that after today, then it becomes the competition. So it's a really interesting, yeah, meld of the entertainment and interaction,
yeah,
and then a good competition.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead, Tim. Go ahead. Finish your thought.
And it's very good competition. I mean, we're amazed sometimes that Bernhard Langer is still pushing 70, I mean, in a couple of years, is still competing with guys that are 17, 18 years younger than him. Stuart Sink and the new guys always seem to kind of dominate early. But it's a great combination of those older guys that can still play, and Colin Montgomery proved last week that he's still hanging. What's Colin, Frank, what's Colin, 63?
Yeah.
He's something like that. Yeah. So it's not always just dominated
well,
by
Well, there's a reason
Stewart
he's
Sinks.
Got that HOF after his name, Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
He was pretty good.
Yeah.
You're right. I mean, the fact that 50-year-olds and almost 70-year-olds are still being able to compete against each other in a professional sport, I mean, it's pretty amazing.
Doesn't happen. I mean, where else?
Nowhere else.
Hockey?
Well, football? Colin, you know, all the players, and I'll tell you, French Lick was a sponsor of this show. We're still involved with them, but a sponsor forever. And we were at every event in French Lick doing tournaments. Colin won the senior PGA championship at French Lick.
That's right, yeah.
When day one, I think Mark Calcavecchia came in, sat down beside me and said, Frank, you're friends with these people. Your friends who that own this place are your friends, right? And I said, yeah, they are. He said, well, you can tell them to do something bad to themselves. And I won't say what he exactly put into that area right there. But he shot an 88 the first day. And Colin.
Was it that cold?
Oh, that was that
day?
Cold day. The wind
was
blowing.
38 degrees or something?
It was in the 40s, but it was cold up on top of Mount Airy there.
Yeah.
And the wind was blowing. But Colin, Colin's great. I'll tell you another one that I wish would come back out and play. And he lives right there in your city. He's a good friend of mine, a good friend of Tim's, Steve Elkington. We need to get Steve back on the sticks and get him out playing on some of the senior stuff.
Well, you know, I beg him every year to, you know, Steve's a good friend. And you're right. He does live right here at Champions.
Yeah.
And he plays every day. He's still a wonderful player. And he came out for a couple of years and played the tour. And I think he just found that, you know, he's just over putting the little score in the little box.
Yeah.
He still loves the game. He plays in some pro-ams for me. He does anything you ever ask him to do. He's a wonderful guy.
Yeah,
I would love to see Steve still competing. But, I think after 30, 40 years of teeing it up when it counts, they get over it, and some guys can't get enough of it. Look at Bernard. Bernard's a freak. I hate to use that name, that word, but Bernard is an actual freak of nature.
He is.
He still looks like he's 25 years old.
Right.
And he is absolutely a genius on the golf course.
And the beauty of golf is he's figured out how, okay, maybe I'm hitting hybrids now and not four irons.
Yeah.
I'm still getting into the green, and I'm still making birdie putts. I mean, he still figures it out, as you said, even almost 20 years older than some of these guys.
Amazing.
Because Stewart Sink still moves the ball out there.
Way
good.
Out there.
I mean, Stewart,
well, Stewart
is the guy to begin
Stewart
with.
Is, he's a big guy. Yeah.
PGA Tour long.
Yeah, yeah, much less for the champions.
So Colin told me an interesting story at breakfast the other day when he arrived, and I congratulated him on his good play last week and said, you know, we were all kind of rooting for you, you know. And he said, yeah, well, let me tell you something. On par five, on the last day, he said, I hit a good drive for him, maybe 265, 270. He said, I laid up with a 4-iron to get to 100 yards out on the par five. Stewart Sink hit driver 6-iron.
To the green.
To the green.
No layup.
Yeah. No. Yeah. That's Stewie.
It's a different game, right? I mean, it's
pretty long.
That's pretty long.
I don't know how you keep playing when the guy's doing that, right? It's like
hole
after hole, you just got to be sitting there going, oh, come on. I mean, you're looking down the fairway.
So
him.
You know, he's still regular tour kind of long.
Yeah. And how long will the course play for these guys?
You know, they play this golf course. Seven? This course has kind of stood the test of time, right? I mean, they've been playing it same length for 30, 40 years now.
Yeah, 7,000,
Around 7,000 yards. Yeah. The golf course plays its yardage, though.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
And it has angles. You know, it has those certain angles that, you know, you don't can't necessarily just get up there and bomb it and take the risk of missing the angle. So the golf course is really good, too, this year. It's maybe the best I've seen it in several years. The guys are going to love it. If Mother Nature will cooperate with us at all the next 3 days, I think you're going to see a really good golf course and not a very low score.
And I think there is a little bit of rain forecast. We
potential,
never know,
you know,
right?
We're going to be dodging thunderstorms.
Yeah.
You know, that time of year.
I know you recently redid the tee boxes and the greens there.
Yeah.
Did they buy? I don't know this. It's a real question. Did they do any sub air on those greens at all?
No, they didn't. Okay. They didn't. But I'll tell you, the new ownership. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Arcus Golf, but Arcus bought this place. They actually closed on this purchase last year during the tournament. And Blake Walker, the CEO of Arcus, came to me and said, well, what is it that you would need? And I said, well, I like new greens. And 2 weeks later, they were being done. So I said, well, I got a good partner here.
Yeah.
It must be nice.
Yeah.
Tell them I need a house on the beach while you're at it.
Typical. But, you know, when you've got a partner like that that's willing to say, we're committed to the event as well, I mean, that means a lot.
And as far as fans go, you expect good crowds?
Well, we're so weather dependent.
Mm-hmm.
And we have one negative going against us this year, playing on Mother's Day. Just happened to be where our date fell. And so Mother's Day, I think, will be a little light. But other than that, Saturday, you know, with the Greats of Golf, we got a good weather day. Yeah, we'll have good crowds and looking forward to it.
Well, tell us about your sponsor, Insperity. I know they're a fabulous partner to have.
Well, I've been doing this a very long time, and they are without a doubt the greatest sponsor that I've ever been involved with. They started the event with me, basically, and help me grow it in every way. They're totally committed. They not just because the guys at the top, Paul Sarvati and Steve Arispe and all of them, not just because they like golf, they do, but you know, they are also very smart guys, and you know, all the data and research shows that their demographic, their core demographic, their prime spot is people that business owners that golf is what they do. So, you know, there's business reasons behind this as well as their love for the game.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, they're a fabulous company. So.
Yeah. It makes all of that have to come together, right? Yeah. I mean, you can't make it work if you don't have the sponsorship, you don't have the media to help, you don't have all of the different pieces. And the reason you guys have been doing this for a number of years, and Sperity, I assume, is on board for a while.
We're signed through 2030.
Okay. Yeah.
Good for you.
Along with United Healthcare, which is a tremendous presenting sponsor. And
presenting sponsor.
So many hundred other sponsors that make this thing work.
Right. Well, I've got to come back down here, Frank, because I have not played. You know, I'm a course raider for the Dallas Morning News. So I go all over the state and play different courses.
Raider or Raider?
Yeah, good point. Yes. Like Raiders of the Lost Ark, that one.
That's all right, yeah.
And I haven't played the tournament course.
Well, you need to do that.
So
you got to play that.
Is anything going on the next couple of days? Could I get out there maybe? And
sure. We can go right after the Greats.
Put him by himself right after the Greats.
Sink looks at me and he goes, what are you doing here? Well, I'm playing along with you. Just go ahead. I'll be here next to you. Just seeing how
you won't be next to him. You'd be 150 yards behind.
On the tee box.
Or 200,
I'll tell him I'll be next to him. Put
him in with Fred Funk. You'll have a good time.
I'll be putting from the middle.
Little
of
University of Maryland action going on there.
I'll come back down and play because I walked it a little bit this morning before you. We started this, and it just, as you said, it's beautiful. I don't know it be for years like you, but it seems to be in great shape.
Fabulous.
I mean, and the right kind of strategic water in different places.
It's
and
a
stuff.
Hell of a layout. It really
and
is.
And I'll make the right shots.
I mean, I love it out there. The woodlands is fabulous.
Tall pine trees in some of the holes.
And we
stuff,
got three of the best finishing holes around. I mean, 16, 17, and 18 are just tremendous finishing holes. A lot can happen.
Yeah.
It's very exciting.
Yes. Which is what you want.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So. Well, we appreciate it, Brian. You've done a great job here, and I know you're really busy, so thank you for taking some time out.
My pleasure. Anytime. Love talking with you guys.
With us.
Let's see if we can't get some of these other guys to flip over to our tour and make it even better.
Yes.
We'd love to. We've made it a point to start covering the PGA Tour champions much more than we ever have in the past.
Well, thank you for that. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
We
like
love
these
it.
Guys more.
Yeah,
you
we do.
You guys are nicer.
Yeah. Well, like nice. All of them are nice, but we know these guys a lot better than we do the young ones, really, so.
All right, well, Frank, you and I will come back. Brian's going to take off, but we'll take a quick break here, and Frank and I will return to the Insperity Invitational presented by United Healthcare here at the Woodlands in just a minute. Stay with us. And welcome back to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews at the Insperity Invitational at the Woodlands Tournament Course outside of Houston. Frank Bassett in the Nashville studios. And... what a nice guy, huh, Frank? Brian Nogle.
Yeah, great guy.
Executive director here. And I did not realize until he said that. I knew he'd been with them for a while. I didn't realize that he started all this. So it's
this is his baby.
It's kind of like a little baby, his child.
Yeah.
And it's cool. I mean, we've been to a million events, but it's just when you talk about, and he was talking about Insperity helping put this on, it is not inexpensive to do. I mean, you look around when you come to a professional event with all the booths and hospitality and the white tenting that's everywhere. It's they've been doing this for months, just leading
getting
up to
it ready,
this,
yeah.
to get ready for this kind of thing. It's a major, major kind of deal. People have to appreciate, as opposed to a NBA arena or a baseball stadium where it's one location, this is spread out over, 200 acres that you've got to have different hospitality and restrooms and watering station. I mean, it's just a project.
Oh, you build a city every week in and week out. You're building a city, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it's crazy. And, but anyway, so
fun stuff though.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. And,
I'm
going to get out and play another course down here in the Woodlands called Carlton Woods.
Yes.
It's a Fazio and a Nicholas course that are part of the Woodlands. I think the Woodlands, and Brian mentioned it, it's 150,000 people now. It's a master plan development, but it started probably 20 years, 30 years ago.
30, 40 years ago, maybe.
And I'll bet you there's got to be a dozen golf courses here now. Probably started with two or three.
Yeah, it did.
It's got to be 10 or 12.
Well, the end there was tied, to where you are now, I guess.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And that's where we'd always stay, stay there on the property. It was great.
Yeah.
Fun days.
So what do we think? I want to mention this before we say goodbye to everybody. Back to the PGA Tour. Did you see that Mr. Bryson, who was asked about what's going on? First things first, the thing that was a little bit kind of surprising was he was taken back by this. He did not see, and as a matter of fact, he was told by the LIV people that the Saudi family was going to support LIV Golf through 2030, meaning 4 years from now, not just through this year. So he said he was totally taken by surprise that they said, no, we're just funding through the end of this year. And you'd think if anybody was going to be on the inside knowing what's going on,
well,
it would be Bryson.
The PIF.
Facing
here, you
got to
listen, is the semantics of all this. The PIF is pulling out of the funding. Okay, yes. That's the public investment fund. That's not the Saudi family. So...
But it's controlled by the Saudi family.
It's controlled by them, but there's other funds that they can tap into, I think. And I think that maybe what's going on is, no, they're not going to throw the gazillions of dollars. What they're going to do is, okay, we'll subsidize it, try to keep it going. If you can go out there and get an equal number for us to support it. I think that's just me thinking.
Well, we'll see. Because Bryson has even said, and of course he passed, as Rahm did, on the Brooks Koepka window of opening to go to the PGA Tour. I said, no, we're staying on LIV. And you're kind of going, okay, do you feel stupid now? Because a few weeks later, it looks like LIV's not going to fund, right? We go through that.
Yeah.
And Bryson has said that he literally might just expand his YouTube golf channel. Like, this is his future endeavor.
That's a mistake.
And playing some majors. And I'm like, okay,
well, he's not going to be in a, what's he going to be able to play in? And
what's what I'm
the
saying?
Masters is not going to invite him forever.
Yeah, you can't just show up and play in tournaments. I mean, you have to qualify. You have to be
U.S. Open. You
got
to qualify.
Even though he's got, he had 5 years from when he won. When did he win the U.S. Open? In 22?
Yeah, 20.
He beat Rory?
Yeah, something
22
like that.
Maybe?
Yeah.
So he's got probably till 27 or 28 with exemption for that.
But yeah.
It's not like you can just play YouTube
but
golf.
But you can't
show up
not
at the PGA Championship.
You can't day in and day out not be out there honing your game and competing
You can't hit trick shots. You can't play with Trump on YouTube and can't get anything out of it. You know?
He wants to hang out with his granddaughter, I guess.
But the thing is, he's making so much money, Frank, off of his YouTube.
He's making a fortune off of it. But then again, I mean, how much more does he need? How much do you really need?
Saying. Okay. Because for the most part, most of these guys, if you talk to Rory, Tiger, Spieth, Scheffler, all those guys, what it's about at that level is your legacy. I want to win majors. I want to be considered this and that, Hall of Fame, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's not, they don't, none of them say, I want to make $1 million. I want to make 10 million. I want to make money. They all do. And obviously they want to.
Well, a few of them said
it. That's not their goal. It's almost like Bryson's kind of flipping it and going, you know what? I can make a killing doing this YouTube golf. And you're like, yeah, but you're not going to be able to play in tournaments. You're not going to win majors. You've already won two majors. Don't you want to kind of win a Masters and win a British Open? Don't you want to do that? I don't know. He's a weird guy. He's a different kind of character. So makes you wonder, right? Is that not his motivation? I don't know. But that's the latest.
Yeah, we'll see.
So we'll see.
Yeah, there's something coming up every day. I'm getting really tired of all the media just hammering this thing so hard. It's just... They were negative against him. Now they're more negative.
Yeah.
And it's just leave it alone right now. Just let it work its way through
we'll see what happens. I'm okay with it. You know, I mean, golf is golf. And by the way, the world doesn't stop spinning on its axis, right? No matter what happens.
Nope, it doesn't.
Tomorrow comes. So, yeah.
Well, for some of us, We'll see.
Don't know. Not coming for you?
Not sure. Somebody's well, for our good friend Art Salinger, who had that little scare, that, you know, you never know, you know.
Yeah.
Go in and say, I got a little tickle. Oh,
gotta
well, no, you're eating up. Got
to be careful.
Yeah, really.
All right, let's start.
So we don't
right?
know. We don't know what's going on with Phil.
With Phil?
Yeah.
No, we don't.
We just don't.
I haven't heard much from Phil. Have you heard much
well,
from Phil?
Well, it's family medical. He says it's family business, whatever.
But we've never heard any details.
No, and they're not. He's not letting it out.
In today's world, the details seem to get out, right?
Well, they seem to, but in Phil's case, they're not getting out. So whatever it is, we certainly wish him the best, whatever it is.
Well, that's why he passed up the Masters.
Yes.
Remember? And that's already been 4 weeks ago.
And he passed up. He hadn't played any live golf, hardly.
Yeah, so it's like, okay. So it's been plenty of time for people to kind of figure out what's...
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Who knows?
I don't want to speculate because you can throw things out there, but it's not responsible to say it could be this, and it has nothing to do with that. So, yeah.
So we'll just wish him the best and his family the best, and that's it. That's all we can do. And the only other thing we can do is probably try to get out of here.
Let's get out of here.
Let's get out of here. Go play golf.
Let's get out of here.
Let's
go play some golf. Hey, thanks, everybody. And thanks to our sponsors that that help us constantly, all the time. And Invited Golf. Go to invitedgolf.com and find out exactly what club near you, whether it's the Woodlands, Dallas, Alabama, California, wherever. You can find a course near you and tee it up and see what's great about Invited Clubs. They're all over the country, and they are amazing, as are PXG golf clubs and equipment.
Yes, PXG.com. Go there. Go to invitedclubs.com. Go to PXG.com. Thanks, Tim. I'm going to play golf.
We're done. Thank you for Brian Nogal. And everybody here at the Insperity Invitational for Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. We appreciate it. Remember to join us next time right here for Golf Talk America.